Good morning, church. Good morning. Well, praise the Lord. Well, we got the clock fixed, so I don't have to take off my watch and watch the time. It's like little Johnny was with his dad going to church, and he sat down with his dad, and the pastor took off his watch and put it on the pulpit, and little Johnny said, "Dad, why did he do that? What does that mean?" His dad said, "Son, it doesn't mean a thing. It doesn't mean a thing. We're going to go until we finish." And the pastor took a drink of water and took a big drink. And he says, "Oh, get ready for this old windmill." He drank another drink of water. And little Johnny said, "Dad, that's the first windmill I've ever seen powered by water." So I think God is moving a little bit differently this morning. I sense something different than what I had planned to share. I'm going to save that for another Sunday, okay? And God does this to me sometimes, just in the midst of trying to cross over and all of a sudden find ourselves moving in another place. But I want to honor the Lord in the time this morning. And so I just sensed as we were worshiping did you feel just the flow of the Spirit of God? And I so appreciated your freedom and your liberty when you got up and just let God take over. Did that bless you a little bit? I didn't see anybody else wanting that blessing this morning. I mean, my goodness, she was setting my feet a-dancing back there. I enjoyed seeing her enter into that liberty and freedom. When God has set you free, you're just a little bit free, right? Oh, you're an abundance of freedom. You're free indeed. And that was such a joy and such a blessing to see that this morning. And I just hope that we can all grab a hold. It's like the Bible says about that when the Lord comes, that we'll, Zechariah says, you'll grab the hem of a Jew and say, "We're going with you because we know God is with you." And I want to grab hold of her and say, "God is with you. I want to go with you." And but anyway, in just trying to discern this morning the way things were moving here, and I was caught up back there in a couple of times in the third heaven, and really enjoying the presence of the Lord. And so, when an extended little worship season goes like that, you have to back up and just reconsider and say, "God, what are you doing here?" And so I've sensed that there's something else going on than what the message I had. So I'm going to say that for another Sunday, okay, another time. So this morning, I'm just going to share just a moment, and then I'd like to get the praise team back up here and just let worship the Lord. You know, God is blessed when we praise Him. But I tell you what blesses Jesus more than anything else, I believe. And I have sensed this over the years in discerning the Spirit and hundreds of incredible worship times and praise times at conferences. It seems like that you can just sense His joy when we begin not to sing about Him, but we start singing to Him and get our eyes focused on Him. It's one thing just to dance and shout and praise the Lord and tell how we praise Him and sing about Him and all of these things. But then when we shift out of that into focusing on Him and start worshiping the Lamb. That's what we're going to be doing, the Bible says. We're going to be around the throne, not singing about the throne, not singing about God, but we're going to be worshiping Him. We're going to be praising Jesus face to face. That's serious, church. And I think that's a good thing for us to practice on while we're down here, and get ready. And we might as well provoke His blessing down here. I want the blessing, don't you? We talked about that on Tuesday night. Those of you that are not coming, we do would love to have you come. Marion touched on something, and as she mentioned that, it just pricked my heart in my spirit because I have pondered on this so many times in Jerusalem. Standing up on the Mount of Olives, and looking across the great Kidron Valley, the big valley that separates the old city of Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives is a big ravine there, a big valley that's called the Kidron Valley. And as you leave the Temple Mount and start up toward the Mount of Olives, you come to the Garden of Gethsemane first. And the Garden of Gethsemane is this beautiful orchard of olive trees. And that was a huge farming area of olives back in Jesus' time. So it was a beautiful place, and it still is today. And I just love to go there so much. But as you ascend the Mount of Olives and go up the Hosanna Trail, instead of coming down the Hosanna Trail, which leaves the top of the Mount of Olives, and it's a road, actual road now, that we walk down and wave our little palm branches and sing Hosanna and enjoy the presence of the Lord. But on the way down to the Garden of Gethsemane, where we start focusing on the agony of Jesus and what took place in the garden, we pass a little church. It's called the Teardrop Church. It's shaped like a teardrop. It's called the Dominus Flevit, where Jesus wept. And I always love to stop there and focus on the Word of God prophetically and the coming of the Lord, and talk about the prophetic things in Scripture and going into the Old Testament and coming forward and start dealing with the things prophetically that Jesus was declaring about His coming and the second coming. It's a powerful, powerful place to stay and just meditate for a little while. And I can get I could just camp out there all day, because the Scripture just comes alive for you and just goes and it just goes on and on as you ponder on the things of God. One of the things that I was thinking this morning, one of the scriptures I was going to touch on, we were going to spend a good bit of time in the Old Testament dealing with Saul and Jonathan and David, and we'll come back to that. It's a powerful, powerful thing that God, and a lot for us to learn from that. But I was reminded this morning, and was thinking about this too, in one of the scriptures I was going to refer to, is what Paul was saying to the church about pressing on to the mark of his high calling. And he says that, you know, speaking to us, that you know the Scripture very well, and it says, I can do what? Through Christ who strengthens me. And I profess and declare that Scripture a lot of times. Does anybody else in here relate to that? I'm finding myself often making that statement, I can. And I was saying that one day, and God really challenged me on that. He says, you say that all the time. You know that Scripture very well. But you know the question for you is, you can do all things in Christ. But the question is, will you do all things? And that's serious, church. It's one thing for us to have it up here, but it needs to translate and get down into here so we begin to live that out. And quit saying, I can do all things, but when all things come, the question is, how are you going to deal with that? It's not, I can, but I will do all things. I will deal with that situation. And that's what this morning, as we were worshiping and praising, that thing just really got a hold of me this morning. And I said, yes, Lord, I want to be there to do all things. I can do all things, and not only can I, but Lord, help me to have a willing heart. To will to do what Father has called me to do. Will me, Father, help me to do what I know your word says that I can do. I can do and I will do. Does anybody want to volunteer for that this morning? That's serious stuff. Will you step up and say, I will do it. Lord, if you show me, I'll do it. Peter said, Lord, if that's you, just tell me to come and I'll get out of the boat. And you remember, he began to get his leg up kind of high, and the other disciples, are you crazy? You are nuts. You better stay in the boat, boy. I don't even know if you can swim good, much less walk on water. And old Peter, how many of you know he thought a minute and then put his leg back down and says, no, no. He said, no, I'm out of here. I can do it, and I will do it, because the man said, come. You've heard me say it many times. He didn't walk on the water. You can't walk on water. How many of you know that? He walked on the word. When Jesus said, come, he got out of the boat and walked on the come thing. He says, you can do it, Peter. Now, come on. And the challenge for us this morning is responding to the come on, you can do it. You can do all things. Now get out of the boat and do it. And you know the rest of the story. Old Peter got out. Boy, can't you just see Peter? I mean, he was strutting it, boy. I mean, he was looking down. He was doing it. How many of you know when you start moving in something and it's successful, you get glad? I mean, you walking in high cotton, as they say in the South. This thing is good to me, Peter was saying. You watch this. And I mean, he was, and then all of a sudden, I don't know if it was pride that got a hold of him, or he began to think about what he was doing. I mean, I know you can get out in some thin ice sometimes, and all of a sudden, reality hits you, which is in opposition to what God has to say, because reality will mess you up. It will steal from you. Because you begin to think, here, how bad my situation is, and sure enough, it is. And I'm going to believe that rather than the direction I'm going. And old Peter, he was trucking. And all of a sudden, he began to sink. I know nobody in here knows what that's like when you begin to sink. But that's a scary feeling. When you're out on the Sea of Galilee, and let me tell you, that is no goldfish pond. The Sea of Galilee is big. It is a big lake. Deep, deep, deep water. And Peter knew one thing about that lake, that in the middle of the night, and when it's a storm or kind of rough, the best thing for you to do is be as close to the center of that boat and as hunkered down as you can get, and hoping you're going to make it to the shore. And he was a fisherman. And he knew that when he began to sink, he was in trouble because it was a long way to the shore. But Jesus. Everybody say, but Jesus. Jesus reached down and took his hand and lifted him up out of that thing, out of that despair. Peter said, I can do all things and I will do them. But I want to now go back to, I think I can. I can do. I just soon get away from this will do. I just want to make a good profession of faith. But now we're living in reality because the water begins to get up around his kneecaps. And he said, this is serious. Jesus reaches out and takes him by the hand and lifts him up. How do you think Peter got back to the boat? You think Jesus picked him up in his arms in a loving way and just carried him back? I don't think so. I think he reached out and took the hand of Jesus. And it wasn't this little reaching out just. Hey, how many of you know sometimes when you reach out to grab hold of him, you need to do it on purpose? I mean, you need to grab hold and say, Lord, I'm not turning you loose till you bless me. Because you are my answer. You are my source. I have got nowhere else to turn. Nobody else can help me, but you can. And I'm not going to turn you loose. And I think that's the hold Peter had on Jesus.
Yeah. Yesterday we drove up on the parkway and we stopped at one of the overlooks. And this woman was taking a picture of her little boy. He was standing right on the side, by the sign. And when we drove up, I was like, this is not good. His two pin eye, that's making me really nervous. And she walked over by him, and he starts sliding, and she grabbed his arm and pulled him up. If she hadn't grabbed him, the kid would have fell down the mountain.
There you go.
That's how God, that's how Jesus pulled.
That's exactly Jesus right. You think that was a happy little boy?
I was happy.
Now, hey, that'll preach. I could get off on that right quick. The truth of the matter is, he is an observer. Can you imagine what the other disciples in the boat were saying? Hey, Peter, grab a hold of something, boy. Hey, you're going down. Some of them are saying, I told him not to get out of the boat. How many of you know you got those around you that said you shouldn't have? I told you. I knew she was going to mess up. I knew he was going to mess up. He's just that way. Instead of saying, hold on, Peter. How many of you need a little encouragement once in a while and have somebody that's an observer saying, Lord, help that child. Ponder on that. Selah. But Peter got hold of Jesus and they headed back for the boat. And I'm telling you, Peter walked, I believe, hand in hand with Jesus. And they got back to the boat. Now, hey, can't you see Peter going toward the boat? I mean, you think he was strutting going out there, you ought to have seen him coming back. And when he got back in the boat, what was the scene? Hey, that's it. Saying, hey, boys, you should have been there. You should have gotten out of the boat. He said, come. You missed it. You missed your opportunity. Peter had already forgotten he was sinking, see. He'd already got back in the boat. Now he's going to start bragging a little bit. And that's what we say when we brag on Jesus. Huh? The things that eat our lunch grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and in the light of His grace. No matter how hard it is, if Jesus is there, you're going to be all right. No matter how big the storm, how deep the water, you're going to be all right. If He called you, He can sustain you. How many are called this morning? Every one of us are. And He can sustain us where we are. Can you mean? No matter what the situation is, He's going to be there. It don't matter what it looked like and how bad the wind's blowing and how bad the storm is. And what's so wonderful when you got somebody comes along and say, come on, you're going to make it. You're going to be around. Hold on now, Peter. You're going to make it, boy. Don't turn him loose. And that should be our message. That's the Lord. That's probably heaven calling me saying, preach it, boy. Oh, glory. Yes, sir. You got to be ready, don't you? You got to be ready. That's like the old preacher. Old preacher was on the big brush arbor. You remember the big, heard about the brush arbors, right? And he was known that he could quote a scripture or refer anything that happened, he could deal with it with scripture. Said he was out preaching on a hot sunny day and it was getting late and he was just preaching and he was just going and all of a sudden he got a deep breath and a bug flew right in his mouth. He started choking, he's all concerned about him. He finally got it together and he said, ugh. He came as a stranger, but I took him in. You got to be ready. Peter gets back in the boat with Jesus. And everything was all right. And I think there was a real underscoring in his life at that time of understanding about doing all things in Christ who strengthens me. We can make it. And I think as we worshiped Him this morning, I just kept sensing that in my spirit that God wants to say that to us this morning. No matter what, we're in it with Him. We're in this together. And He promised in His Word, I will never leave or forsake you. I'm going to be there with you, and I am for you. And if I be for you, what? Who can be against us? Nobody. Because we are more than a conqueror. I will do all things. The next time that thing comes along that challenges you, and you take authority, and you say, I will do all things. I will do this. I will be more than a conqueror. I'm going to take back. And I was going, that was part of back over in Samuel this morning about David. Oh, man, that'll preach. I'd like to go there, but we can't this morning. And he says, I'm going back in the enemy's camp, and I'm going what? Take back what he stole from me.
Amen.
I'm going to take it back. David knew that message very well. David lived that. And Jesus, standing on the Mount of Olives, lamented over Jerusalem because he knew what he had come for. He had come as the Redeemer, and he had come to the house of Israel. It's to the Jew first. And he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if you had only known who was among you. Oh, Jerusalem and Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were unwilling. Could we say this morning, Lord, we're willing. We want to draw near to you. We want to be found in the cleft of the rock, to be hidden in Christ, to be under the shadow of your wing, to experience you that close as we begin to worship him. He's telling me it's time to close up here. I don't know why I didn't turn that on. And how he does want us to come to him and get snuggled up. Remember that expression. You pull your little children up and can come over here and snuggle up with me. Grandchildren, there's nothing better than snuggling up with your grandchildren. Your children too, but your grandchildren, I don't know why they snuggle so good, but they do. And Jesus wants us to snuggle with him. Behold, oh, every time I read this, I sit on the Mount of Olives and so many times and pondered on this. And he said, behold, your house is being left to you desolate. And I thought, there is the fact we have a choice. How many of you want a desolate house? We have a choice, you and I. We can press into him and come under the shadow of his wings and let him be mama hen and us be his chicks and us snuggle up to him. Or we can do our own thing in our house. Be left desolate. One of the most popular songs of a great singer in the secular world who died a few years ago, his name was Frank Sinatra, and he sang a song that was a great hit, and it was called I Did It My Way. And I think as I ponder on that, what a tragedy. What a tragedy that anybody could think they could do it their way. But God will let you try. He will let you have it your way. And I enjoy Burger King where you can have it your way, but that's not God's best when you're dealing with him. We're going to have it his way. Lord, you just serve it up. I'll be happy. Show me the way. That's the way I want to go. And then Jesus said, for I say to you, from now on you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Is that our cry this morning? Is that our cry as the church? That we want to say, blessed are you, Lord, would you come? Would you come and dwell with us? Would you come and be my source and be my everything? Let me hear you say, come, and I will come. Show me what to do, and I'll be faithful to do that which you've called me to do. I will do all things because you've made me a can-do person. You have equipped me. You've put me here for a purpose, and you've got a plan. Now work your plan. Help me to know your agenda. I don't want to do it my way. I want to do it your way, God's way. Many years ago, some of you may have heard me tell the story that I believe that we're getting very close to the coming of the Lord. The veil that God placed over the eyes of the Jewish people, and we'll be talking about this quite a bit on Tuesday nights as we go through Romans, about God's dealing with the house of Israel and the Jewish people and the church as well, because we're grafted into that. Years ago, when I was with the Christian Embassy at the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem, it was the first feast that we had that was big, large feast. This would have been about 1980. There were over 30 nations represented at the Feast of Tabernacles. There was over 4,000 believers gathered together for that celebration in the Binyanei HaUma, which is the big convention center in Jerusalem. We packed it out. And the plan was that in the afternoon, after the morning session, we would gather together at lunch and we would join with the big parade that the Israelis have every year during the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Israelis come from all over the country and line the streets, and many their kids are in the parades, just like a regular parade that you see, but it's more of it's not a secular parade as such, but is a parade of thanksgiving. It is a parade of acknowledgement of God's faithfulness to the nation of Israel. Children will march in it, and different kibbutz all over Israel will feature or will sponsor their little group that will march through with their banners of their kibbutz and different groups around Israel. The soccer players will actually be marching along. And this particular year, the government, Menachem Begin, invited the Christian Embassy to march first in the Feast of Tabernacles. It was right behind the honor guard of Israel. And guess who, what country got to march first of the Feast of Tabernacles group? The United States. And I was privileged, Mary Jo and I, to lead our delegation as the ambassador or director or whatever of the Christian Embassy here in this country. And so Mary Jo and I were standing there, and I had our flag bearers carrying the U.S. flag, big, here's our American flag, and he had it in this little thing, and it was above us. And then Mary Jo and I marched, and behind us was a, I think it was Minneapolis consulate group right behind us. And we were spaced out about the width of this room. And that huge banner was probably almost as wide as it was from here to that wall. And there were people in that group. And each group coming from the United States had their own little had their own sign. And it says, we were waving signs, "We love Israel. God bless the gates of Zion. Israel, you're not alone." And all of these different signs and declaring our solidarity and love for the nation of Israel. It was just magnificent, this processional. And so we started out. Here we go, walking along. We were waving at everybody, and everybody was so excited as the U.S. flag came down, and Israelis were applauding. And I said, "Oh, goodness, it just dawned on me. We're comforting the gates of Zion. We're speaking tenderly to Jerusalem. We're not just some group. We represent the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We are Christians, and we're there to love Israel. We're there to comfort them and speak tenderly to Jerusalem." And we had the banners up, and we were walking along, and we came to a very narrow place right in the city of Jerusalem as we walked down the streets, and they were lining just hundreds of Israelis on the sides, and they kind of got into the walk, the path where we were walking the street. And we started to turn a corner, and we had to stop because the road narrowed, and we had to wait for, and we were waving, and people in the windows, and there was one lady, elderly lady, grandmother, that was standing on the side right next to me. And I turned, and being the warm, charming, loving self, I turned and smiled at her, and I just want to say, God bless you. And big tears were rolling down her cheeks. And our eyes met as though we were touching one another. I felt her. And she looked at me and she said, "Blessed are you who comes in the name of the Lord." I said, "Church, we won't be long. Today, there are many, many Israelis coming to Messiah. The Messianic movement in Israel is spreading like wildfire. The Israeli government doesn't know what to do with it. And the regular Jewish community, and especially the Orthodox, they're overwhelmed at what state. They don't know how to relate to all of this. But they're coming to Messiah. The chief rabbi at that time came to the embassy and he said, I want to see firsthand what this is about. We're hearing so much about it. And so we took him inside and set him down and answered all of his questions and told him how much we love the Jewish people. And when he left, he started to walk away. And he turned and he said this: when Messiah comes, and what I have felt and sensed here today, if he's Jesus, I won't be disappointed. Powerful statement, church. Because what that's saying is, that Sabra heart, that Jewish heart, where the seed of Christ, of Jesus, their Messiah, is planted, that thing is beginning to open up, and it won't be long till Messiah comes. It's an exciting time to be living, isn't it? So the question for us is, Lord, what is my part? And what am I to do? Here am I, Lord. Send me. Use me. And so this morning, as we maybe close here, and I don't know, Paul, if you want to come do another song or something just to worship for a moment, but we have so much to be thankful for, so much to give praise for. And may he set our feet a dancing as we celebrate who we are in him. Don't you love the Lord today? Let's just stand before him. Father, we give you praise. Come on, church. Just give him praise. We exalt your name and thank you that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the great I Am. And you have made us more than conquerors. And we thank you, Father, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And Lord, not only have you made us a can-do, but Lord, would you today make us a will-do, that we will do all things that you show us to do. Would you help us to put our lives so in order that we, Lord, can get out of the boat this morning and move toward you and grab hold of you and snuggle up with you. Lord, would you do that for us today and help us as we embrace this coming week to make a difference. We can't fix yesterday, but Lord, we can move out in what you called us to do, what lies ahead. Would you help us, Father? Lord, if there's anyone here needing a touch from you this morning, as we started out here this morning, that you're here, you are present this morning, that you can meet every need that we have. We don't have to be like the man by the pool of Bethesda and start throwing a pity party for you this morning or explaining everything to you and how bad things are no matter how long it's been that way. But Lord, may we hear you today. Oh, just take up your pallet and walk. I don't want to hear about that because the great I Am is here this morning. And I can do all things in Christ because you are with me. And if God be for me, then who can be against me? That no weapon formed against me shall prosper. That you've made me the head and not the tail. That I can walk on the mountaintops with hinds feet on high places. I can mount up with wings as eagle, and I can soar with you today. My God is able to do far exceedingly abundantly beyond all that I could even hope or think. That declares who you are, Father. You are a great God, and we just praise you and exalt you. We just want to worship you now. We want to tell you how much we love you now. We want to provoke your blessing now. Not later. We don't want to miss this opportunity. We're going to press into you right now. We want to provoke you right now to give us the blessing, Lord. Help us, Father. Thank you, Lord, you've set us free from all of our shortfalls, all of our failures, and all of our mistakes, all of our sins are under the blood of Jesus. For you've given us the blood to place over the doorposts and lintel of our lives. As the angel passes by, he will declare, they are alive in Christ. We give you praise this morning for your provision. And the church said,
there is no